Katerina Vidor grew up comfortably middle class in Bratislava. She worked in an office. She spoke four languages. Katerina loved playing tennis and water skied with her friends down on the Adriatic. She had recently married and her parents lived nearby. And then it all went to hell. Katerina was interviewed for us by Martin Korchak in 2004 when she was a very sprightly 94 years old. Her story is read for us by Jan Goodman in London.
I was born in 1910, and I remember as a child when the Austrian Emperor Franz Joseph died in 1916. It was during the First World War. 2 years later, in 1918, the first Czechoslovak Republic was born, and that's the world I grew up in. I got to watch it torn apart by the Germans in 1939. Then came the so-called independent Slovak state, which joined the Axis in 1940. Every week they passed more and more anti-Jewish laws. You had to turn in all your valuables, jewellery and furs. You had to bring in your radios, and suddenly we were really cut off from the world. Jews were fired from their jobs. Jewish children couldn't go to school. It took a long time before we knew anything about Auschwitz, when they first started deporting to there in 1942. We knew it was a work camp, but we began to hear that it was something much worse. Friends who did have shortwave radios told us the Germans were suffering huge losses. We kept on living in anxiety. By 1944, we thought, maybe we'll make it. We even heard about the Allies landing in France in June of that year. But they took us on the 27th of September, 1944. Guards took us to the Jewish centre. Then at noon, they put us in boxcars. We ended up in Sered, a small town nearby that had a collection centre for Jews. We were there for 3 days. It was something horrible. It was monstrous. The boxcars came. Again, they packed us in. There could have been 70 of us, or maybe more. We heard the rumour. We were going to Auschwitz. They opened the doors and they were yelling, "Raus, raus!" We had to leave everything behind. I saw my father and my husband going in another direction than me. We were lined up in fives. It was my mother, me, my aunt, and two other women. I was crying bitterly. My mother tried to console me. "Don't cry, Kato. This is the kind of life we've been living these last years." It didn't make me feel any better. And suddenly, an SS man who was standing not far from us heard us speaking in Slovak. Turns out he was from Slovakia too. He grabbed my arm and asked, "How old are you?" I answered, "Honestly, I'm 34. He said, "You're still strong. You're going to work." I stood with my arms around my mother, but somehow they shoved me over to the other side. Two Bratislava ladies standing in line grabbed me, "Come with us!" And they dragged me away. That's how I got on the side of life. They made us strip, and they shaved our hair off. We went to the showers, and then we got dressed. They gave us the clothes of the people they'd already murdered. The clothes were bloody and dirty. I got a summer dress and clogs, and then we marched into the barracks. In the afternoon, a woman named Glauser came into our barracks. She was an old family friend. We all crowded round her, asking, "Where's my father? Where's my husband? Where's my mother, siblings, children?" She wrote down the names and said she would come back if she learned anything. 2 days later, Glauser was back, and of course everybody surrounded her. I stood there and waited. She came up to me last, but didn't speak. I said, "I beg you, tell me it'll be better to know now. She said, yes. Between 2 and 3 in the morning, it was your parents' turn. And your husband. I know the exact date. 4th of October, 1944. I was in Auschwitz a total of 10 days. The gas chambers were operating day and night. The air was so bad. There was no grass there. No birds, because the stench of burnt flesh was so horrible. There was a porcelain factory 30 kilometres from Dresden, which had been transformed into a military factory. That is where they sent us. We worked there until February 1945, either 12 hours a day or 12 hours a night. Back-breaking work. We were near starvation. One day they suddenly told us they're closing the factory. We saw that the SS were running. It was the Allied bombing of Dresden. And as strange as it sounds, those were the most bearable days for us. Sometimes the sky was red day and night, and we were lying down on the ground and could finally get some sleep. Maybe we wouldn't even have to wake up. You see, we weren't afraid of the Allied bombs. We were afraid of the SS and the Gestapo. Then came the worst part of my journey to Calvary. They put us in open wagons for 16 days and hauled us back and forth around Austria, Germany and Czechoslovakia. Suddenly they opened the boxcars. Once again, SS men were screaming at us, kicking us. All I knew was that we were in Austria. Someone told me, "This is Mauthausen." An SS standing next to us answered in German, "Das heißt Mauthausen," meaning the house of death.
Somehow Katharina survived even this hell. On the 4th of May, 1945, Katharina and the rest of the camp were liberated by the Americans. 3 weeks later, she arrived home in Bratislava.
I literally had nothing. And on Ventuska Street, I met one of my old girlfriends. We kissed each other and cried and sobbed, holding on to each other. A woman walking by stopped, opened her bag, and took out a handkerchief and gave it to me. That was the first thing I owned, if you can believe it. In time, my relatives found me. I started to put life back together. I registered at an office. I was given some cash and then a small flat. One day, I was told someone would deliver a crate to me. It turns out that just before deportation, my husband had put things in it and gave it to someone. A handsome young man arrived and opened the crate for me. It was filled with linen and household goods. He kept saying, "Oh my, how rich you are." Now, you have to understand, I was horribly skinny. I looked awful. I had no hair. But this young man was charming. He was incredibly funny, and his name was Ladislav Löffler. And yes, we got married. We had a daughter, and I worked in various offices, and I lost my husband in 1979. It was sad he wasn't with me to witness the fall of communism in 1989 in November. When they had those demonstrations, I went every God-given day and stood on the front row. In fact, the leader of the Democratic Opposition would look at the crowd of tens of thousands and call out, "Is Mrs. Löffler here yet?" And I would wave and he would say, "Okay, we can begin." That was 16 years ago. And in 2005, at the age of 94, I attend our Jewish community functions, I read our newspapers, and I'm very thankful that I've been able to tell my story.